The Holy Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around them. He said to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My husband and I have been through the experience of teaching three teenagers how to drive. We're living proof that you can survive this experience, though it's not for the faint of heart. When each of the kids turned 16 and began to drive on their own, we had a law in our house. When one of the kids left to go somewhere in the car, they had to text us. When they arrived, they had to text us. Teenagers always seem to be on the move, and believe me, there were zillions of texts. Over time, I got in the habit of replying to each text with, "I love you." If something happened to one of them or me, I wanted the last words they ever heard from me to be, "I love you." I've sat at enough bedsides to know that the final words we often want to share with someone are the words, "I love you." We want them to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are loved. In the text from the Gospel of John today, Jesus knows that his hour has come. He knows he's leaving, that he will be put to death. He's preparing his own last words for the disciples. He's preparing to say goodbye. Jesus too says, "I love you." Jesus not only says, "I love you," but shows the disciples his love by washing and feeding. Washing and feeding are such basic parts of our everyday life. Or are they? We begin life as an infant, washed tenderly by someone who loves us deeply. We will hopefully end our lives in the same way. The one who loves us gently washes off the mud and the muck, tenderly removes the worries of the day, the wounds and the hurts. There is skin-to-skin contact and a physical connection is made. As with washing, we are fed as infants by someone who loves us deeply. Then at the end of our lives, lovingly fed again. I remember helping my parents take their last meals. Perhaps only a spoonful, but a spoonful given in love to nourish and sustain whatever life they had remaining. Washing and feeding are required for us to sustain life, sure. But there is so much more to it than that. The washing and the feeding are ways we show our love for each other. Jesus demonstrated for us a servant love by kneeling at the feet of the disciples with a basin of water. He gently washed their feet, dried them with a towel. The simple act of washing was unexpected. It was undeserved. It was a gracious act of love poured out upon those he cherished. Jesus showed us how to love one another, and then he gave the disciples a commandment. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. There's two things that are going on in this story. First, we are to let ourselves be washed and fed. Second, we are to wash and feed another. At the very beginning and the very end of our lives, this washing and feeding are accepted, expected, enjoyed even. We physically can't do things ourselves, and we need the help of another. In the middle of our lives, though, it is often hard to accept these intimate acts of giving and caring. Our independent streaks are in full swing. Perhaps we see the washing and feeding not as acts of love, but something that we have to pay back. We don't want to owe anybody anything. Or maybe it feels like we're giving up control. Is this what Peter was rebelling against? Or perhaps by accepting the gift of washing and feeding, our own weaknesses will be exposed. The bunions and the hammer toes, the calluses and the toenail fungus. Who wants anyone to see that? It's only though when we let our neighbors kneel at our feet with the basin and the towel and go skin to skin with us that we can truly reach out to another in servant love. A man I knew several years ago struggled for what seems like forever. He'd go through a period where he'd stabilize for a while, and then the struggles would start all over again. When things got really bad, he would shut everyone out. He stopped attending church. He refused visitors. His friends would call and offer to bring meals or drive him to appointments, but he'd say no. He insisted he could do everything himself. He didn't want to bother anyone. He didn't want anyone to see him struggle or die. The one thing he couldn't say no to, though, were the prayers, and they rose constantly. Nearing the end, this man began to accept the offers of care and love. He died, surrounded by those who loved him, those who gently washed and fed him, then carried him his final days into the arms of Jesus. In allowing himself to be cared for, he cared for others. He gave his friends a gift by letting them fulfill their Christian call to love one another as Jesus has loved us. Second part of this text today is that we are called to love and feed others. It's interesting that in the book of John, this commandment to love one another is directed to the disciples. They are to love one another within their own community, to love within the community of Christians. You remember that old song, "And they'll know we are Christians by our love, and they'll know we are Christians by our love." If Christians can love one another, then the love of Jesus can't help but spread. Some of us attended the Holy Week community service this morning, celebrated by the community of Trustville at First United Methodist Church. We gathered as Christians. We sat side by side in the pew. We shared a meal together, side by side. We share the work of Trustville Ecumenical Assistive Ministry, congregations plus businesses in the community, all committed to servant love, all working together to feed the hungry in our neighborhood. This Christian community has heard Jesus' call to love, and we are answering this call. Thanks be to God for that. Did you also notice, though, that Jesus washed the feet of Judas, the disciple in his own community who would betray him? It's a whole lot easier for us to care for those who love us, especially those who are thankful for our love. But we're called to wash the feet of all Christians, even if they don't look like us, live like us, vote like us, or worship like us. We are called to look each other in the eye when we pass the peace on Sundays, then share God's blessing that crosses all barriers. We're called to kneel at the communion rail with those we like and those we don't always like, and share the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We're called to love another in our words and, most importantly, with our actions, without exception. It is not always easy. But because Jesus loves us so much, Jesus promises to be with us as we do live out this commandment. Jesus has also given us a model to follow in our sacramental washing and feeding. The baptismal washing away of our sin and death so that we are raised sparkling clean from the waters and brought to new life. Freed from sin and death so that we can love another. In the eating of the body and the blood, we are nourished and strengthened again and again for our life as Christians. Freed so that we can love another. Jesus begins his earthly goodbye today, but it's a see you later kind of goodbye. Because today in the water and the word, the bread and the wine, the community and the Christian, Jesus appears and loves us again and again and again. These last words tell us without a doubt that Jesus loves us. Amen.